Luke chapter 16, verse number 19 is where we'll begin reading. I was out the other day at my house, and I had a bunch of scrap lumber. And I'd built me up a pile that wasn't a huge pile of lumber. And I got that wood a-burning, and it began to make red-hot coals, and I was piling more wood on the fire, and it got to where I couldn't hardly get up there to it, Brother Adam, without having to cover my face to throw more wood on the fire. And I got to thinking about what a small fire that was, but I also got to thinking about hell. And what a dreadful place hell would be to fall into that place one day and be there for eternity. As I was working around that fire, the Scripture came to my mind. And some things the Bible has to say out of this passage right here I want to relay to you this morning. I want to sound an alarm to you today if you've never been saved. Take heed today. For this same word this morning that I preach to you, if you reject it, if God's dealing with you, then one day you'll stand before Him and He'll call this day to your remembrance. And He'll judge you out of this passage of Scripture right here. So I'd ask for your prayers this morning. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments." Hey, he didn't go down there and gather with his friends to have a big party. Amen. "But he was in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Brother Conrad, would you pray this morning? Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. Yes. Lord help. Yes, it is.
Yes, Jesus. Help us, Lord, we pray. Oh, God. Amen. I'm interested this morning. Verse 22, 23, and something is said in verse 27. Verse 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried." Notice that phrase, "and he cried in hell." Verse 27, as the Bible says, "and he prayed." This morning I want to preach to you today on this thought: too late to cry, too late to pray. I want to say something to you this morning if you're lost. You have an opportunity today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. But if you wait till it's too late, like this rich man did, it'll be too late to cry when you fall into the devil's hell. It'll be too late to pray then. But this rich man was very much aware of things that and mistakes that he'd made. He saw his brethren needing to be saved, and he realized it. He wanted somebody to go back and testify to them because of the dreadful place that he was in. A place of eternal torment. The Bible says it came to pass that the beggar died. It came to pass that the rich man died. I don't know about you, but I don't like death. Amen? I don't like death. Death passed upon all men when Adam failed in the garden and he took for granted the words that God had said to him. And death passed upon all men. God told Adam, "From the dust thou wast taken, and unto dust thou shalt return." And that's true of all of us this morning. We're not going to stay in this world forever. I don't like death. But the fact this morning is that death is on our trail today. The psalmist David said, "As the Lord liveth, I know that there is but a step between me and death." One of these days, death will catch up to us though, unless the Lord comes back and raptures His church out of this world. We face that last enemy. But we can have victory over it tonight, or today. Death, the departing, the separating of body and spirit, or body and soul. Going back to the dust this body is. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says that we're going back to the dust, but the spirit's going back to God who gave it. We better be ready for that day. These are words that folks don't like to hear today, but they're words of truth. We're all going to meet God one day. Death. Are you ready? Are you ready for your dying day? We make a lot of preparations for living. But we better be making preparations for our dying day. Amen. So listen to the words that God has to say to you this morning. This thing of death, we all have an appointment that we're going to keep. Now, I've got a doctor's appointment, and I don't even remember. It's coming up sometime soon. I don't even remember the date. And I have an opportunity to check up on that and meet that appointment, or I can just say, "Well, I don't believe I'll go." But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we all have an appointment with death. It's an appointed unto man once to die. And that don't sound too bad, does it? But the reminder of that verse says, "But after this, the judgment." Judgment. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I know I'm saved this morning without a doubt. I know that I know that I know I'm saved, but it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Even as a saved person, that's a day that I just kind of dread it. But I thank God for grace this morning. You'll find through the studying of God's Word, there's only been two men in the history of this world that's ever left here without death, without going through the door of death. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Elijah, the great prophet, was caught up in a whirlwind, the Bible says, into heaven. Every other man, woman, boy, and girl that came along other than these two have gone through the door of death into eternity. Either heaven or hell. It's that simple this morning. The appointment. You're going to keep that appointment. You know, and we don't know when our appointment is. It's a thing to think about this morning. So important that we be ready for that appointment to meet God. And anticipation, you'll find in this story right here, there was one man ready and one man that was not ready. The rich man, no doubt he had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. You know, this old world has a lot of things to distract you today. People don't like to think about dying, and so for that reason, they don't prepare for it. But we better get ready for our dying day. We better start anticipating this thing. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that in these last days, man would be ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're in that day today. Daniel saw it in his day. He saw people that would be running to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. Isn't it a sad day that we live in when people are not thinking about their eternity? I can't even comprehend eternity in my feeble mind. Something that never ends. Never ends. And yet when your heart beats its last beat, when you draw your last breath, you leave this world and you enter into eternity. I remember reading a story about Abraham Lincoln. The night that he was shot, they carried him across the street and to a boarding house, I believe it was, placed him up on a bed. They were all folks gathered around him there that night. He was breathing and breathing very shallow. And on up towards morning, his breathing got more and more shallow. And one man leaned down over him, listening to the breath. When he raised up, he said, "He now belongs to eternity." He went out to meet God. Suddenly. Are you ready? The appointment, the anticipation. We better be anticipating our dying day. It's coming. The awakening. There's a lot of folks today that believe that we come from monkeys. Amen? Anybody ever heard that? We come from monkeys. We're like a dog. We're like a horse. We're like a cat. We ain't got no soul. We just go back to the dust. And that's it. That's scary. Amen. But the truth is, when God created Adam back in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says He formed him from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul shall live on for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. We all have that soul, and it belongs to God. Death, the departing, the separating from the body, the soul.
It's an appointment. Something we better be anticipating. Because we're going to wake up one of these days. You know what? You know something that's amazing, Brother Tim? They tell me I was born November the 18th, 1950. I can't prove that myself. I can't remember it. Amen? I got a birth certificate that tells me that. But you know, when it comes to my dying day, I'll be very, very much aware of it. Because when I close my eyes in death, this old body, I'll be looking upon the face of Jesus, I believe. According to my Bible, I'll just pass over from death to life for eternity. And I'm glad by the grace of God I got that settled a long time ago. I got it settled. Death and its destiny. Destiny. We're destined to wind up in one of two places. Heaven or hell. No other options. There's no purgatory for somebody to pray you out of. There's no reincarnation. You're not going to come back. You're going to be fixed for eternity in one of two places. We all have that destiny to meet one day. The Bible says some things about heaven, but this morning I want to focus greatly on hell. Heaven's a wonderful place. Heaven's a place where the former things are going to be passed away. But hell is a place that Jesus spent much of His preaching warning people about. Isaiah says that hell has enlarged itself. And I'd say the way this world is going today that there's very few people today that's accepting Christ. Millions of people are falling off into a devil's hell the day that we live. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says that hell is a place of everlasting fire. Everlasting. He tells us in Matthew 23 that there's no escape. Once you go to hell, there's no way of getting out. There'll be no escapes there. It's a place in Matthew 25, Jesus says, of everlasting punishment. Eternal punishment. In Mark chapter 9, He tells us that the fire of hell is never quenched. There'll be no good days and no bad days in hell. Every day is going to be torment. Can I tell you something this morning? If we could open the doors of hell and look down in it and listen, you'd hear that same rich man that cried out in Luke 16 right there. You'd still hear his voice in there this morning. I'm tormented in these flames. The sad part is he'll be there 10 million times 10 million times 10 million more years to come. Crying, screaming, begging for mercy. But it's too late to cry. Too late to pray once you enter into a place called hell. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 11 and 3, if the tree fall toward the south or the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. That's the way it is in life. If you die and go to hell, you'll not pray your way out. Grace will be gone. Isn't it sad that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world? He lived a sinless life. And He went to Calvary's cross, and there on Calvary's cross, as Jesus hung there in open shame, the God of glory placed my sins, and He placed your sins upon His darling Son there that we might have a chance at life. Isn't it sad this morning that hell is full of people
who had their sin debt paid for, yet they rejected to take it. Sad, isn't it? Hell's a dreadful, awful place. I remember when I was a young man, young boy, really, maybe 16 years old, 17 years old, I hung out in some bad places. I stayed in the pool room a lot. You know, a lot of Saturdays, there was a big old boy that would come in there. He'd be drunk. Big rascal. Nobody wanted to tangle with him, but that's what he always wanted to do when he come in. He'd come in drunk. He wanted to bully people. Try to provoke somebody into fighting him. Because he was big and he was bad. But you know, during that period of time, I got word that this old boy went down the road one night and he turned his car over. And the car had him pinned. And the car caught fire. And people that came upon the scene, the flames began to boil up and boil up. And this big old boy that was so bad and so mean was screaming, screaming, screaming to the top of his voice, "Somebody help me! I'm burning! Somebody get me out of here! Help! Somebody! Somebody!" There was nothing nobody could do. The flames were moving too fast. He screamed loud, and the screams got a little bit lower and a little bit lower. Till finally they just died out. And I thought, oh, how sad to die in a drunken state, burned alive, and then fall off into a worse place called hell. Sad. Too late to cry. Too late to pray. If you die and go to a devil's hell. Death and destiny. Distractions. You know, there's a lot of things in this old world to take your mind away from God and eternity. Amen. I remember myself when 23 years old, a lost man had my name on the church roll. But I knew, I didn't have any doubt where I was saved or lost. You don't either. There's folks that may say, well, I think I'm saved. I wouldn't want to go out and meet God on that thought. You better know you're saved. You better know it. And you can know it. At 23 years old, I was into drinking. I was into gambling. I was having a big time. Had a pretty good job. Beautiful wife, baby boy in the house, but I was just a heartbeat out of hell at any moment. One heartbeat out of hell. See, I had things distracting me. I was having a good time. I was winning a lot of money gambling. I was drinking every day. But to come to a place, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Convicted me, troubling me. And let me tell you something. He didn't trouble me about going to heaven. Heaven wasn't on my mind. I wasn't thinking about heaven the day I got saved. I was thinking about dying, going to hell. It come to a place to where the pleasures and distractions of this flesh, the lust and the sin of the flesh was taking me to hell. Come to a place where I realized it just wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth dying and going to a devil's hell. Fun. Sin's fun for a season. But it'll end. The wages of sin's death. But the gift of God's eternal life. There's a finish to sin. It'll finish you up. You hang on to it and you reject Christ. The Bible says, we lust after sin. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When sin's finished, it brings forth death. Don't get distracted in life till it's too late to cry. Amen? Don't
Don't let the lust of this old flesh and the things of this world take your mind off of eternal things. We live in a day of distraction. There used to be a time when mamas and daddies had such a burden for their children, they'd gather around the altars and they'd pray. They'd call their names out aloud. They'd want everybody in the house to hear the name and help them pray for their children. They didn't want them dying going to hell. We need that kind of burden today. God help us. Too late to cry, too late to pray. Death, the destiny after death, the distractions. But then lastly, I want to preach on this subject this morning, the decision. Sometime or another in this rich man's life, he made a decision. You see, I truly believe that Lazarus testified of him and told him about the grace of God. Because when he lifted his eyes in hell, he said, "Father, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to my five brethren and let him testify to them that they not come to this dreadful place." He had a decision that he postponed, I guess. You know, I remember going to church at times when I was lost and I didn't like going to church. And I'd sit as far back as I could get. And at times I felt God's conviction. I felt guilty. I felt dirty. I felt like I needed to be saved at times and God would be dealing with me. And it made me miserable. But I tell you what was even worse, when I'd go to church and I didn't feel that, it scared the life out of me. I was afraid God was through with me. I was afraid God had given up on me. And everybody in this house, if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're lost this morning, you better pray to God that He'll convict you and draw you according to love to a place of repentance. You have the opportunity this morning to repent or rebel, to receive or reject. Heaven or hell, today or tomorrow. But the Bible has some things to say to us. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You can put off what you need to do today, but you don't have the promise of a tomorrow. You don't have a promise of another chance. But I got some good news. There's a blessing. This thing of heaven and hell. In Revelation 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "I'm He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death." Christ can release you from your sins. You don't have to go to hell. Like these young ones were singing a while ago, "I'm not going to hell." Can you say that this morning? I'm talking about it's too late to cry once you enter into that place. God's willing, God's able to save. Can I tell you something this morning before I close? You have a birthright this morning. You have a birthright this morning that God has given unto you. You have a right to be born again. You have a right this morning to escape the terrors of hell. But you have to accept it. I read about a man in the Word of God named Esau. He had a birthright that he sold for one morsel of meat. But there was a day that came when it was time to inherit the blessings and he was rejected. And the Bible says that he sought to get it back with tears and crying. But it was too late. It done been given to somebody else. One verse I'm going to read you right here, and I'll be done. Would y'all come with a song this morning, brothers? Here's the summation of my message this morning. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. I've done my best this morning to set before you heaven and hell, life and death. But the decision is yours. You see, when God convicted me of my sins, the final decision was mine. I had to make the decision. Same way with all mankind. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here today that would choose life? As they sang this morning, I want you to stand around the house. Page 321.